Have you ever had a version of your app out in the wild and you're not really sure exactly which version it is? Did you know you can set your version numbers as part of your build process? Let's mash on that.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the ASP.NET Monsters. Today's episode is brought to you by AppFair, continuous integration services for Windows developers. And in today's episode, we're going to take a look at how you can embed your build numbers inside of your binaries.
Yeah, so
you can do that?
You can, and you know what? It's one of these things that just got a little easier with .NET Core. It's just not necessarily super well documented yet, so it took me a little while to kind of find all these little pieces of information. But if you remember traditionally with .NET applications, you set the version number through assembly information attributes that were like assembly level attributes. So it was in C# code that you had to set it. And there were MS build tasks that you could use as part of your build process that would go and modify that C# file that had the assembly version attribute in it, modify it to set it to a specific version, and then build your app. And that would get compiled into your assembly, and that would be your version number. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit different now. You can still do the assembly version info piece, but what ends up happening actually is part of the MS build task that compiles your .NET Core application, one of the things it does is actually generates that assembly info attribute into the assembly for you based on just a setting in the C# CS proj file. So if we look at, I'm just going to do a really simple console app here so we can kind of explore what these version numbers look like. So you can tell that I tried this once before because I'm a console app too. But I'm just going to do console.writeline. The version is, and I'm going to grab the assembly version here from this application. So I'll do that by getting assembly. Get entry assembly, which will be this assembly. Get name gives me the thing I need here to actually get my assembly version, which is this guy. So version is a class that has things like my major, minor, and revision numbers in it. So I just do a toString, and that will put that out on the console. And I do a read line. So when I run this, I get 1.0.0.0. So I haven't set anything yet.
Pretty that's exciting. Just,
that's the default. If we look here, there's no... So in previous versions of .NET, we had a properties folder here that had that assembly info.cs, which is where usually that assembly info is, the version number was set. But if we go to, sorry, not properties, but if we actually just edit the CS proj file, so we'll just open it up because we can do that now. There's this property group at the top, and it's here that we can actually do things like setting our version number. So what I can do here is change it to 1.2 as an example. And then if I rebuild my solution...
You're skipping over right over 1.1.
I am. Yeah, that's
it's like
the
you
cool
work for the Angular
now.
Project. Yeah.
Or, you know, earlier versions of any framework. So now my version is 1.2.0.0. Now there's more than just a single version number with .NET assemblies, and I think that going over the differences between all those is maybe out of scope of this video, so we could probably spend a whole video talking about that. But there's things like the file version, which can be a little bit different. You can set it independently. There's the assembly version, which is the one that when you're in the code and you ask for the version number, that's the one that you get. And then there's another one called informational version. This is the one that I had a really hard time finding. But that's it there. Oh, I did assembly name. So you can set these all independently, or you can set just the version itself, and then these other ones are supposed to default to the version. Whatever you had specified as the version, if you don't have anything specifically set here. I ran into some issues where that wasn't the case with informational version. And that one's kind of interesting. So I'm gonna, actually we'll see if we can replicate that because I haven't tried it again. But if I do a rebuild of this and then I go, I'm gonna open this in File Explorer so that we can actually look at the assembly here. So this is my console app.dll. If I go properties on this and you go to details, there's this file version that's 1.2.0.0. So that's my file version that I specified. My assembly version doesn't show up in the file properties here under details. The product version, that's actually that informational one. And that took me a little while to kind of figure out why that was. But for some reason, when I do version, these other ones are supposed to default. And we'll see if maybe I was just having a bad day or if I can reproduce this problem. So we did a rebuild here. Oh, now it did set it. Okay.
Okay.
So it was able to set the product version, which is the informational version in the property group here. It defaulted to the version property. So that worked the way it's supposed to work. But the interesting thing is that, so let's say you do this and you have it kind of hard-coded in here. That's great, but who's responsible for incrementing these numbers? Usually you increment this third one or fourth one, depending on how you're doing your versioning, based on every build that you do. Is it the build on the developer's machine? Well, probably not. It's usually a build that happens on the build server where that number is incremented. And then where should you actually change these values? Typically your application might be made up of a number of assemblies. Do you have to go through and change them in every place? So that's where this is quite nice that they give us this option now. Make it really easy. If we go, I'm gonna drop into the console now. D-U-R, I don't think that's a command. I'm gonna clean my build and then I'm gonna, so I can build this, and because I don't have any version information specified there, everything will build using that default, going back to the default of 1.0.0, which it did not do. That's interesting. Yes, it did. It just, the property window was open already. So I'll close that. What you can do is just pass this in as a property to msbuild. So when you call .NET build, that's just passing it off to msbuild to do the build task. And you can pass in any parameters that you add or arguments that you pass in after build here will get passed into msbuild, just like standard msbuild task or properties used to be passed in. So what I can do here is say version equals 1. I'll do 2.0.0. whatever my build is, slash p for the parameter or property. But the catch with this is it doesn't rebuild it. If all you did was change the version number and you had previously compiled it, it doesn't rebuild that assembly. So you do need to do a .NET clean first to clean out your previously built your previously built assemblies, and then it rebuilds them for me, and I should see these version numbers in here. And there they are.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So the file version, the product version, which is informational version, and then the assembly version, if I actually go to run this now, should say, here's my 2.0.0.12412.
So these version numbers, they do need to be numerical, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I can't pass in like console app 2 version 95, Windows 95?
No.
Okay.
Not Windows 95. There is something called a version suffix, which can be a string. So you could do something like beta here.
Okay.
So then,
so that is still running. That could be something that you could tag. You could put like your
it could be your branch
SHA in it.
your Git char, it could be your branch that you're in.
Okay.
So anything like that. Okay, I did run instead of clean build. We'll see what this looks like, because I haven't played around with the suffix thing too much. It didn't show up here. Or did it show up? Didn't show up there either. Interesting.
Okay, so maybe it's like an additional property of that version. Like if you go into the program.cs and take a look at the assembly info, is there a suffix or something in there?
Nope.
All right, we'll
come back to that one.
Yeah, it seems like a good question.
Because there's a version prefix and a version suffix that can be used.
Yeah.
But there might be something about, or there is something specific about when they can be used. So the way I was digging through this is I was working on that sample that I've been using for all these, which is my tag helper samples project. And we had talked about this last time, how I had this going fairly smoothly, but the one thing that was kind of off was the build numbers from my AppVayor builds was not matching the build number from the actual application and the assemblies that were being generated and the NuGet packages that were being uploaded to NuGet. So to get this all in sync, what I did is, as part of my deployment build, there's a version number that's defined here at the top. So that's an AppVayor property. So this is the one place in my application where I define a version number. It's 1.1 and then build. So this gets automatically incremented by the AppVayor build system every time there's a build. So that one just auto increments for me. And then the trick was to pass that in when I did my build. So I do that down here under the build script. And I should zoom in a bit because that's pretty small. No, that's pretty big. So when I build I have a bunch of different assemblies here that I'm building individually, but when I build it, I'm setting them each individually. So I'm setting assembly version to AppVayor build version. Now, this took me a little while to figure out here. I had to reference the environment variable. So I was expecting that I could just say version in curly brackets, like I did up here, where you're referencing kind of AppVayor properties inside the YAML file. But that's not exactly how this works. The substitution doesn't happen here at this level before it executes the command. When I define something as CMD, that's actually a command that gets executed inside a command prompt. So at that point, the only way to access that build version is through the AppVayor environment variable that gets set as a build version. So when you set the version up here, that sets this environment variable, and then I can reference it inside my CMD commands.
Okay.
So I set the assembly version, I set the informational version, and I set the file version. I just set them all individually because for some reason here that wasn't working, where setting just the version would default them all to the same thing. So I just did them all individually. And then same thing with .NET Pack, but there's another one that you set here. I just need to scroll over so you can see it. And that is the package version. So that's your NuGet package version. So I'm just making sure that I'm setting them all to the same thing, basically.
So you still need to set the assembly version when you do the pack?
You do, yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, the package version is independent from the assembly version.
Well, I'm just surprised that, like, by the time you've called pack, like, your assemblies are already built, so it should just package up the assemblies that you have, so it shouldn't be rebuilding.
It should, and I don't think it is rebuilding them.
Okay.
But I was just making sure. There might
safe
have been,
and sorry.
Yeah, exactly. There might have been some logic around setting that property that was triggering it to rebuild them. I can't remember, but I thought I'll just build it. I'll just set them all right now. Now, again, I could just be doing a .NET build, and as part of my configuration for that project, setting it to do the NuGet packages every time, and that probably would be a more appropriate approach here. But doing them all individually just kind of shows the individual steps if you wanted to do them separately. I found this by digging through. You can kind of see my series of commits where I get more and more angry. I eventually found it here by looking at the. So this is that target inside the build scripts part of this.
Brave man to look at MS Build
I know
scripts.
that actually generates that assembly info for you. And this is where you can kind of see some of the logic about where it checks to see if the file version has not been set, then it uses a different version number or defaults to different things. So all that logic is in here in this file. It just took me a little while to find it.
Looks like you can set all sorts of stuff in there.
Yeah, there
Descriptions
so
and titles.
the neat thing is that anything that you see if you when you go into Visual Studio here and you get the auto completions, so things like your product name and your company name and all those things,
Okay.
you can also set those just by passing them in as a command line parameter, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the fun weekend project I did of trying to trace through all that. But now the result of that is that if I go to AppVear and I look at all my deployment builds, we can see this. So this is my build 1.1.22. And if I go look at my artifacts, we can also see that that file that was generated for my NuGet package is also 1.1.22. And if I save that down, I'll just open it and inspect it just to you can see all the things I've downloaded. Our NuGet packages are just zip files, so if you rename them and unzip them, you can see what's in there. And if I look under lib, at standard, there's my assembly. And if I right click, go to details, there's my
Go
product and
there.
file version are set. So the numbers are all aligned. It was bugging me before, but I finally got it all working. And the kind of holy grail of all that is that you get to the point where there's the one place where you change your version number and it applies for the entire application, all the assemblies that you're generating. And I got to that point, so I'm good to go.
Great. That's fantastic. So glad that you showed me this. I'm going to go and use this tomorrow. All right, great. Well, thanks everyone for joining us on another episode of the ASP.NET Monsters. Remember to like, comment, and share. And if you have a comment or a question, we'll read it. And if we read it on air, we'll send you a handy dandy sticker. And another sticker, of which we still have a few left. All right, so we'll see everyone in the next episode.